sing your praises. And Lord, we want to lift you up. You are sweet to us. You are our Redeemer, our Savior, our Creator, our Sustainer. We thank you for making this day possible. We're grateful for each and every one who took advantage of the very fact of being the Lord's day and beginning the week off with his people in his house, hearing from his word. Now, bless this time that we have to be together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, last week, from time to time, we'll do a two-part message. And last week, we began this message, as you see up here on the screen, about being at that fork in the road. And what we want to talk about is, and we talked about last week, is some guiding principles the Word of God gives us on some of those gray areas. And Lord willing, next Sunday I want to talk about what I call some grace killers for gray areas. I've been preaching long enough and been involved in situations. In fact, we originally came from a church when we came to this church 35 years ago that had broken up and split up. Now, when we came to that church, I think we were there a couple of years, and I was out doing a lot of supply preaching. But they had broken up and lost part of their congregation over the windows in the new sanctuary they were building. And over some of the issues that they made on this beautiful new building they had built. And so there's always the devil wants to divide, and he always wants to destroy. And he comes at us so often over things that don't have anything to do with the kingdom of God being established here on earth and with people coming to Christ in faith. So I want to begin this message today in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 down through verse 5. I'm going to share with you this morning as we begin today. He says, Paul says to the church there in Rome, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. For one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind." Now, last week, as I mentioned, we looked at some principles that I want to show up here again here in just a minute. But what I'm getting at is the Bible is very explicit on the no's, on the don'ts, all right? You know, the commands, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, you know, don't commit adultery, so on and so forth, don't covet. And the Bible contains a long list of the sins of the flesh, you know, pride and greed and envy and all of those things. And there are many things that the Bible talks about that we need to do that are right, like loving your neighbor, helping people, giving of yourself to others and from your bounty, loving your wife, loving your children. So what about those areas, though, that are the gray areas? What about those areas where the Scripture is silent? And we looked last week at four of them that I just want to refresh your memory on real quickly. We asked the question based on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, will this direct me or detour me? In other words, what I'm about to do, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All right, and we talked about the word, I talked about the fact the group on television, Expedia.com, and what they seek to do is get you on your journey, get you a hotel, get you a nice, you know, travel plan, and so on and so forth, and pick out different things for you to help you on your journey. Well, This is what we're talking about regarding our faith. Is what I'm about to do, is it going to help me along on my journey? We're all in a journey as Christians. Is this going to get me where I need to be? Or is this going to detour me? Is this going to get me off on a side road? And all of us from time to time have got lost and we took the wrong road or took a detour. Then a second thing we looked at last week was, will this build me up or tear me down? Right in that same passage, he said, all things are lawful for me. And again, we emphasize that, you know, as far as my freedom in Christ, as far as the grace of God goes, all things that aren't, again, forbidden in Scripture are for me, for my freedom in Christ. But he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify. And we talked about the fact edify means to build. An edifice is a building. So, is what I'm about to do, is it going to build me up or tear me down? And we talked about the fact that a church should be a place that you come into and people aren't critical of you. There aren't speck hunters. They're looking, again, they shouldn't be looking to find fault. We should be trying to build one another up because the lost world out there is always trying to tear people down, all right? Some of them make their money, all right? The rag mags, all of these things make their money. Social media make their money by what? Being critical, finding little things wrong with people, all right, that they can zero in on. So is this going to build me up? Is this advantageous for me? Is this beneficial? You know, will watching the Super Bowl build me up? Well, if the Chiefs lose, it's going to tear me down. So anyway, all right, third thing. Will this help me or hinder me? He says again in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All right, helpful. Is doing this going to help me in my life? Or is it going to hinder me? Is it going to make we go backwards? Think about the warnings we have in Scripture about backsliding, all right? Am I going forward or am I going backwards in my faith? You know, there are a lot of people today who are not in church today who were in church a year ago because something happened. It might have been something big. It might have been something small, as I alluded to earlier, all right? There's some people who haven't been in church in a long time who used to be very, very faithful. There's some people right now who preach the Word of God who are out there in the world now because of circumstances and so on and so forth, because something happened, all right? So again, is this going to help me or is this going to hinder me? And then the fourth thing that we looked at real quickly last week was, will this free me or enslave me? All right. There's always that danger. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And we know there are people, again, that have trouble with certain things. All right. Am I enslaved by this? Am I possessed by my possessions? All right. Does something have a hold on me? Okay. Now, I've said all that to get now back into our text this morning and build up to the first principle I want to share today. And that is, notice here, back in Romans 14 and verse 1, he says several things here that are very key to this. He says, receive one who's weak in faith. He's talking about, you know, think about at any given time in any church, there are people stronger in their faith and weaker in their faith. There's new Christians, there's old Christians. There's people that have been, again, in church for a long time, but they haven't grown and matured in their faith. And then there's people who've been in church a long time who are mature in their faith, all right? Notice he says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. That is, the non-essentials, the gray areas. As this translation translates this verse, welcome people who are weak in their faith, but don't get into an argument over differences of opinions. All right? Differences of opinions. It's so easy for that to happen. Now, in this church in Rome that Paul is addressing, there in that congregation, they had all different kind of varieties of backgrounds, all right? Like in our church, different backgrounds, all right? There were old converts and there were new converts. There were Jewish converts and there were Gentile converts. There were law keepers and grace givers in that church. There were, as we're going to see, vegetarians and meat eaters, all right? There were total abstainers and there were wine drinkers. And there were observers of special days and people who weren't observers of special days. So first of all, Paul says, no matter what, he says, welcome them. You know, what should a church be above everything else? It doesn't matter who walks into that church. They are welcome, all right? They are welcome. We don't look down our nose at them, all right? How are we going to win them if we give them the cold shoulder or if we look down our nose at them? How can we welcome people in? Now, he's talking about here people who look at things differently, people who are weak in faith and people who are strong in faith in that gray area. Now, let's think about that idea of personal opinions. Differences of opinions. I know everyone here really likes snow. I know you're just joking. I know you really love it. I know you really love cold climate, right? Amen? I know that because what is hell? Hell's hot. I know you like cold. You just have to. It's heavenly, right? Amen? And I know none of us have any differences of opinion over politics, or we don't have any differences of opinion over food choices. I know everybody here loves liver and onions, right? And I know everybody likes your steak cooked medium well, right? You know, think about all those little nuances, all differences of opinion that aren't any different between twiddly-dee and twiddly-dum, all right? If you like one thing and I don't like it, big deal. It doesn't matter, okay? These are just personal opinions. If you want to root for somebody besides the Chiefs, be a loser. That's okay. I'm not against you. But notice, Paul says here in the next verse, in Romans 14 and verse 2, he said, one believes he may eat all things. Oh, here comes the difference of opinions. But he who is weak eats only vegetables. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Now, again, to put it in the culture of that day, there were people who took meat, sacrificed it to idols. That's the relationship that he's talking about here. Okay. Culturally, that didn't apply to us. But again, God has given us some principles here about little things that can make a big difference because people can get hung up on that. And the main thing he's trying to emphasize is don't let that be a test of fellowship. You know, I've unfortunately been in situations with other pastors. I've done funerals with pastors who weren't Southern Baptists. I've done weddings with different ones who weren't of the same denomination that I was, that it spoke, and so on and so forth. Now, would we let our differences, even our doctrinal differences, keep us from coming together? When it comes to the church, do we let these things, again, become the issue? Here's the warning, and more I want to talk about this next week, is there are always those people who want to turn the gray areas into black and white areas. In other words, you must believe the way I believe, and this is how I believe. And if you don't believe that way, I can't have fellowship with you. So here's Paul, and above everything else, he says, get along. Receive one another. You know, you're not going to agree on every issue any more than if you go into a restaurant and you get a menu, you're going to look at it and one person's going to say, hey, that sounds good. And somebody else says, yeah, that sounds good. And somebody might say, oh, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. All right. We let them have, again, that idea. Let them have the way. He talks about days. People can get hung up on days. You know, there are some who won't celebrate Christmas. They won't celebrate the day of Christmas because of the pagan backgrounds to some of the aspects of it, okay? So people can get hung up. Now, he's talking about, again, about the Sabbath and some of the days that they celebrated back then when in the Jewish culture, obviously. So it's all, again, he says, it's secondary issues. I've always said, and I'll say it again, we can be wrong in being right. Because we have the wrong attitude about being right. It's like, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm proud of it. And God says, no. That ain't what I want. That ain't what I want. Now, I want to tell you something that Paul is saying here to us. He's saying the weaker brother, all right, he is not right in his ideas here. But he's not saying that make this into a break of fellowship with him. He's saying receive him. He can change. He might get on the right track, all right? But it's not worth getting into a big issue over. In fact, I want you to see in Romans 14 and verse 3, he says, let him who eats, not him who eats despise him. Notice that. You mean people would come together in a church and despise what another person does? All right? Well, you know, if they're, I know they're where they were last night or what they were doing. So, to despise them? Now, we're talking about, again, a gray area here. You would despise, notice, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him. All right? Let's not get into despising people over things. Now, in relationship to that, he says at the end of verse 3, he says, receive him, for God has received him. Notice, God's received both of them. The one who eats and the one who doesn't eat. The one who observes the day and the one who doesn't observe the day. And they may be, again, one may be right and one may be wrong, but he's receiving them both because it's not a salvation issue. It's not based on anyone getting to heaven or not. It's not a make or break issue. It's not a deal breaker. And then I want you to notice the illustration that Paul gives in Romans 14 and verse 4. He says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, what did God just say? I receive him. I'm the master. He's the servant. Who are you to judge my servants? Who does he belong to? Who is he ultimately going to stand before one of these days? He's not going to stand before you, Pastor. He's going to stand before God. God will make him either stand or fall. It's up to God. So who are you to come along and judge someone or despise someone? Now, I want to tell you something that I have learned about myself over the years. What I believed when I first became a Christian has evolved, all right? As I got in the Word, as I, again, saw other experiences, as I went through certain things that I preached on 30-some years ago, I've changed on. Now, I haven't changed on the basics. I'm not changed on the fundamentals. But again, I'm still a work in progress and will be till the day I die. But I understand after all these years, as I get toward marching to the grave in my old age, I've discovered a lot of things. I'm not going to be able to read all those books. I'm not going to be able to do all of those things that I thought I could do, all right? I've realized that. Time is running out. The hourglass has got more sand, all right, in the bottom than it does in the top, all right? I've realized that. And I'm understanding the fact that these little things that destroy marriages, little things that destroy families, they're not worth it when it's all said and done. And that leads me to, finally, we reached it. The first principle I want to share, add to our list today, and that is, will this free my conscience or violate my conscience? Notice Paul said, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. That is the one guy that observes the day and the other guy that doesn't observe the day. Hey, I'm going to observe the day. All right, don't despise the guy that doesn't. Let each one of them make up their own mind over the gray areas. Notice some of the other translations of this. Let everyone be definite in his own convictions. Every person must make his own decision. So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. On questions of this kind, everyone must decide for himself. In these matters, all must reach their own conclusion and satisfy their own minds. I tell you what, pastors that really bother me are pastors who want to make every decision for their congregation and every decision for the church and say, this is, well, my women will please me if they do this, and I believe this way, and I believe that way, and you need to believe the same way. Well, here's Paul. And one of the things that he was known for, hallelujah, praise God, was he was a preacher of grace. He was a preacher of grace because how are we saved? By laws, by do lists of do and don't? No. Now, realize Paul is not saying here, all right, one person believes it's all right to have sex outside of marriage, and another person believes it's okay. Let everyone be persuaded in their own mind. Or he's not saying, you know, one person says salvation is by grace and works. Another person says salvation is by grace alone. Let everyone be fully convinced in their own mind. He's not saying that about the fundamental items. He's talking about those things about that God, if you read Romans chapter 2, God has given even every one of us who's ever been born a conscience. That conscience says, this is wrong or this is right. Think of a little child. How do they know they've told a lie if they're confronted? Their conscience is bothering them. Of course, we know that people can, as the Bible warns in 1 Timothy 4, you can sear that conscience by continuing to violating that conscience. That conscience says, don't do this, don't do that. Don't violate that conscience. And I think about, let's apply this to situations. We went through the COVID scare here a couple of years ago, all right? There was a big beef about taking a shot. All right, here's the answer to it. If you're fully convinced it's okay to take the shot, take the shot. If you're not fully convinced to take the shot, don't take it. Don't violate your conscience, okay? A mask. If you want to, some people are still wearing masks. I see them out and about. If you think that protects you, that's fine. I'm not to despise you if you think that is. I may look at it and kind of shake my head and say, well, man, I thought that was over a few years ago. But again, any shot, anything, again, that you think is, boy, I'm afraid of that, don't do it. Stay away from it, all right? You think about public school or homeschool. All right, some people are dead set against public school. And I understand a lot of the reasons. And some people are all for homeschooling because they don't like public schooling. That's fine. We shouldn't look to let everyone be convinced in their own mind. And then Bible translations. Oh, man, you'll drive by some churches, they'll have out on the sign, KJV only. They won't let you know. It's the Textus Receptus. And I had a buddy one time, he preached at a church, and he got confronted after that service. He just fell in the pulpit. He got confronted by the leadership of the church. How dare he preach out of a different translation than the King James? Let everyone be fully persuaded in their own mind. What about dancing? To dance or not to dance? That is the question. We had a couple here at the church a few years ago, and they were afraid to tell me, which they finally did, we do ballroom dancing. And I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. I can't believe it. A Baptist dancing? All right. Well, I hate to tell you, you know, can't do that. No. I said, no. I've been to weddings where they danced. All right. And I won't tell you about my past history as far as dancing goes. I'll leave that alone. But some of you know that. Yeah. My wife, I remember going, I did a funeral up at Jasper, and I remember signing in, and somebody said to me, aren't you that Ed Hamilton that used to be at the discotheques? Not me. No, that was somebody else. What about gambling? Gambling. Now, I could tell you, and I've told you before, well, I look at gambling and nothing good come out of it. They gambled even over Jesus' clothes. But does the Bible say thou shalt not gamble? So, again, and now here's one. Because the scriptures address this. Look in Romans 14 and verse 21 up here on the screen. He mentions drinking wine. Notice, it is good neither to eat or drink, eat meat or drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. And here's my little addition, not to the scriptures, but commentary. This is not just would it hurt you. The question is also, will it hurt somebody else? All right? The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not drink. As I have shared before, Jesus was a wine bibber. He wasn't a grape juicer. And I've seen good old Baptist preachers that I think the world of who do gymnastic to try to say that alcohol is horrible in every shape and form. And if they come over to your house and they see it in your house, if they see it in your refrigerator, oh boy, you're in big trouble. I'm not one. I can still come to your house if you got some. All right, okay. I'm not going to get down on you. Now, I share that because I don't drink. I used to before I got saved, and I'm not saying because I got saved I could. I'm saying I do it because Paul says here and applies this to issues where I don't want to cause other people to stumble. I don't want people to see me drive through the liquor store to get booze, all right, and say, well, I thought he was a preacher, and there he is, blah. And I realize there are preachers in this town. You know, they used to say, whenever you get four Episcopalians together, what do you look for? A fifth, all right? They drink, all right? They drink. Now, Paul is saying here, is this going to hurt somebody? And here's where we need to again talk about this. Here's what helps us in the gray areas. Is this going to hurt someone? Is this going to hurt their testimony? Is this going to maybe hinder them that we've talked about? Is this going to help them or hinder them? All right. Now, here's the ticket. You know, when you're a little kid, you don't let your kids play with sharp objects and stuff. And there's certain things you don't let them do. But you know, when you mature, you can do those things. Now, if they're not going to hurt other people and other people seeing you do them, then don't get hung up on them, all right? Now, look at verse 22, the very next verse. He says, do you have faith? And notice this. Have it to yourself before God. And he says, you may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. You know, I think about how many times a day that verse is violated.
I don't do that, and I'm proud of it. And God is proud of me. I've got some brownie points because I can't believe you still do that. I can't believe you would ever do that. And they look down their nose at you and judge you by that.
Now, here's something I want to share with you up here on the screen. Here is my commentary. In other words, don't impose your beliefs in gray areas on other people. Some things are wrong for you that are right for others. And some things are right for you that are wrong for others. Why? It violates their conscience. They don't feel good about doing it. So don't try to get them to do it. But again, don't look down on them if they don't do it, if they haven't reached that stage in their life as far as their faith goes, all right? Now, that brings me to my sixth little principle here, and this is so important. And this is a decision that we make when we become believers that we have to transform from. And that is, am I going to live by faith or am I going to live by feelings? But he who doubts is condemned, for whatever is not from faith is sin. All right. Now, in the context he's saying here, you know, if this violates your conscience, don't do it. If you can't do this by faith, don't do it by feeling. Now, God has given us liberties. Those liberties have limitations that we've addressed and talked about and just scratched the surface on. But he's saying, whatever you do, make sure you don't violate faith. In other words, if you're not sure through God's help, all right, that you're doing this, by faith. By faith. If you're not sure, don't do it. If you can't do it by faith, don't do it. Now, Galatians 5 and verse 16 is a verse that we're all very familiar with. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what the lust of the flesh so often is? Our feelings. Our feelings. You know, the flesh wants to make decisions based on feelings and not my faith. The flesh wants to be pampered. The flesh is centered on right here, right now. It's not centered on the future. It's amazing how many people have messed up their lives by making decisions based on feeling. Oh, I just feel he's right for me. I feel she's right for me. I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I think of all so many songs that I've thought of with lines like, this can't be wrong because it feels so right. Or, I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back. And then there's that line in those that great theologians, the Eagles, have a song called Desperado. Ain't it funny how the feeling goes away? You know? Again, I loved him, but the feelings went away. I don't love him anymore. Feelings. Feelings. You know, there was a man that I went to church with. This is back when I was not a pastor, before I became a pastor. And I remember one day, he came to me. He said to me, he said, I blew it last night. I said, what? He said, I blew it last night. He said, I lost my salvation. What? I lost my salvation. In his mind, he had committed some sin that he felt. Now, again, in scratching at the surface, it wasn't that he went out and cheated on his wife or did something real horrible. Again, in his mind, in this basis, realms of feeling, he felt like he had done something. And I want to tell you what. He was a person I knew, and as long as I knew him in my life, in the window that I knew him, he lived on a roller coaster of emotions. I remember one Sunday, he got up and sang a song by accompaniment tape, and he just made one little mistake, and they had to start it over again. And you know what he did? When he got done singing that song, he walked out of the church, and he walked all the way home. And he didn't live next door, okay? Now, again, am I living by faith or feelings? Am I singing for an audience of one? Or am I singing for the congregation? I messed up. Big deal. I'm a human. I'm flesh and blood. I made a mistake. Again, our feelings. There are many people, unfortunately. It's like going to see a movie, and they go see a movie, and you know, they play the violin strings right at the right time, and they pull you in, and somebody dies, and tears are coming down your face, or the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl, and tears are coming down your face, and, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, some people walk an aisle that way. They get the liver shivers or the goosebumps, and they make a decision based on their emotions, but not based on the Word of God. There are literally thousands of people who've done that. God doesn't communicate through emotionalism. I'm all for emotion. All for it. But the Bible never says, feel this way, keep feeling this way, and you'll be saved. The Bible never says, without feelings, it's impossible to please God. The Bible never says, for grace you have been saved by feelings. The Bible never says, feelings come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. No, it says in each instance what? Faith, faith, faith. Don't trust your feelings. Don't make important decisions in your life on your feelings. You know, purchases, marriages, friendships, relationships, don't make them based on feelings. Pay no attention to your feelings. That's the shallowest part of your nature. They can deceive you. They can trick you, all right? Live by faith. walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. See, feelings is based on so much on sight. As I wanted to point out up here on the screen, when it comes to prayer, we don't pray because we're trying to change God. We pray because we're trying to change ourselves. That's why we keep praying, because we see, Lord, I fell short again this week. Amen. I fell short again this week. I don't know about you, but we can always what? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice is a choice. All right? And last but not least, my seventh and final thing I want to share with you today is, will this lift me up or weigh me down? Notice from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In other words, he says, if I do this, I'm at that fork of the road. Is this going to give me wings? All right. Am I going to, like Isaiah said, am I going to mount up with wings? I don't want to make any references to the eagles today, all right? Anyway, am I going to mount up with wings? Or is this going to weigh me down? Is this going to weigh me down? In weighing me down, it's going to hold me back. Remember, the writer of Hebrews is saying, we're in a race. And what did Paul in 2 Timothy, in the last chapter of 2 Timothy, what did Paul say? He said, regarding our race, he said, fight the good fight. He said, keep the faith. And he said, finish the race. That's what he said he had done. That's what all of us need to do. Now, the problem is the dead weight. We had a dear lady in our church many years ago who got crippled up by a terrible disease, all right? And so she had these canes to help her walk with. She had a daughter that she brought, and she fell back in that bathroom in there in the fellowship hall, all right? And I happened to be back there, and I heard her holler out for help, and she was laying there on the floor. Now, I thought, as I'm someone who has done a lot of lifting in my life, that I could just pick her up and set her down, but I couldn't do it. She was dead weight to me, and so she couldn't help me to help her, so I had to get more help. Obviously, you try that, apply that to our lives, dead weight can become a burden. And here is the picture he's saying. It's like trying to run a race in combat boots and a wool overcoat. You don't want to do that. I heard a deputy sheriff just recently say that the vest, his protective vest, weighed 45 pounds, all right? Now, that is bulk. That is weight that is necessary in order to help preserve and save his life. But we're talking about here things we need to get rid of that are weighing us down and holding us back. In fact, I go back to that verse, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Living Bible says, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. He says, the voice translation, let us drop every extra weight, all right? You've been there before. I'm there right now, all right? It's good to get the weight off, isn't it? Physically, it's good to get it off. It hurts your foundation, all right? It feels so much better to get that off. I've been able to do that, and I'm so grateful. But there are so many other areas that weigh us down. Now, think about this in relationship. Every believer's got to decide, what is that weight? All right? What is that weight? There are some people we shouldn't hang around with. Me and my wife discovered early on that some of those discotheque people, okay, that were my friends, okay, we couldn't continue to run with them because they wanted to run different places than we wanted to run, all right? It was not that we thought we were better than they were. I say also, there are certain jobs we can't do, Okay? Now, I'm going to give you an example. A person could work in a Quick Trip. Oh, they're selling liquor. They're selling lottery tickets. You could work over here, over here at the grocery. You could work over here at Cash King or work at Aldi's, and you could sell booze. Some people would have a problem with that. Oh, I feel like, man, I'd sell that to somebody, and maybe they'd go out and have a wreck. If you ask me, what would I say? Let everyone be fully persuaded in their own mind is what I should say and what anyone should say to them. I don't want to be your conscience for you. I don't want to take that responsibility. And I don't want you to make your decision based on feelings. I want you to make it based on faith. And I've seen people who did it for a while and felt like, hey, I can't do it anymore. That's fine. The other people kept doing it. That's fine. All right? It's receive him, he says. All right? Think about it. In so many areas, we need to get rid of the weight because we're in a race and we don't want anything to weigh us down. It's like fire. Fire that's used properly can cook you a meal. It can warm a home. But out of control, we've seen in California, it can destroy. So it's putting it in its proper perspective. And here is the last thing I want to comment on this verse, because he talks about something that the KJV mentions as a besetting sin. Notice, let us lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. Notice these other translations say, especially the sin that just won't let go. The sin which holds on to us so tightly. The sin that clings so closely. Especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. Especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. In other words, like a ball and chain. Kind of like a cough you can't get rid of, all right? It just keeps hanging on and hanging on. And again, I've said it many times, and I've said it even during this message, I believe. What may be a besetting sin to you, I may not have any problem with. And I have no right to look at you who lives in glass house and say, I can't believe that's a major problem with you. But see, if we're not careful, we'll eliminate this and say, well, you know, that's for drug addicts or that's for alcoholics. What about pride? What about greed? What about jealousy? What about envy? What about anger? You know, I've learned something about myself, and you know this, and I've said it many times. We can justify anything we do. The flesh will let us do that, all right? But as it's well been said, to hold on to a besetting sin is to have the devil for an attorney, because he's pleading our cause. You know, every kick has a kickback, okay? So that besetting sin, he says, that's pulling you down. That's drawing you away. And I want to leave you with this final verse this morning. And here's the key. If we say we have no sin, how many people come into church? I got nothing I'm really hung up on. I got no besetting. I got it all together. I'm doing good. I'm doing great. You're a liar, all right? You ain't. You got issues. I got issues. Sometimes we think the pastor's up there and he's beating the pulpit and all this stuff. Man, he's got his life all together. He's doing well. And some of them will make you think that. Just don't talk to their wife, okay? All right? It's not true. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If there's one particular sin that will hinder the race, it's the sin of doubt and unbelief. We won't address the issue. We major on the minor instead of minor on the majors. We're not, again, addressing the problem. And what is church for? It's for us to be honest with God. If we can't be, you know, we think we can be honest with him when we praise him. But can we be honest in our confession? Can we be honest in our repentance? Can we say, Lord, I need you. I'm not going to play the game. I'm going to be honest with you. You know my heart anyway. I'm not right. I need to get right. There's some areas I need help on. I've shared with you many times. If you want to come forward and pray at the altar, I beg you to do that. and you want to do it consistently, I beg you to do that. If you want someone to pray with you, I'm here to do that, and I know other brethren and sisters could do that too. That is what it's all about, is coming together and agree with God that we are all what? Sinners. And those of us who are sinners and recognize that and are Christians know we are sinners saved by the grace of God. Will you stand with